Amen. Amen. I got to go on this side. I'm so used to being on this side. Sorry. Praise the Lord. All right. Well, hey, listen, tonight I wanted to just talk to you about something that I believe that God set on my heart. So I'm going to have you turn to a couple of verses, but we're just going to talk about some things. And I want to talk about the subject on the screen. It talks about impaired influence. And impaired influence, what does that mean? To be impaired is to be incomplete, to be under the influence of something. You think about somebody with impaired judgment is broken judgment. It is not functioning. It's not fully accurate. And today I want to talk to you about the subject of impaired influence because I believe influence is a very hot subject right now, especially in light of what's been going on this in the past couple of weeks, months leading up to it, and just to see the condition of this wonderful nation that we're in. I mean, how many guys followed the election? Did anybody follow the election? Did anybody not follow the election? Like, don't care, don't want to be a part of it. Jacob, you are proud to be ignorant. Good job. All right. You know, it's a big step. And, you know, I was amazed at just what went down on Tuesday. I was amazed. To be honest with you, I was completely shocked that Donald Trump won the presidency. I mean, Stacy and I tell everybody, it's like, we were betting, you know. It's like, she's like, babe, he might win. And I'm like, there ain't no way he's going to win. Everybody's voting for Hillary. What are you talking about? She's like, he's going to win. I'm like, I bet you $100 that he's not going to win. And now I owe her $100. Man. I was just shocked at that. But I think beyond shock, beyond surprise, I think it was just overall kind of just like a what happened. And it kind of sent the nation, if you look at the last couple of days, that sent the nation really into a tailspin of separation and into indifference. And, you know, I think even Hillary, when she talked about it in her concession speech, she said, look, it's hard, it's difficult, this loss is challenging. But she said, you know, she said these words that really just shocked me for a moment. She said that this nation is more divided than we thought it was. And I thought, that's an interesting thought. And then after we saw the things that have been going on, the protests, and just, I mean, everybody's talking about avoiding social media. And if you're not avoiding social media, then you're probably posting things on social media that people are trying to avoid on social media. And it's just this whole, like, chaos of just influence, and people are trying to influence California to exit now, to secede from the union, right? Because how could we support a president, this and that? And I'm not going to talk about that tonight, so don't worry, you're like, oh my God, I should have stayed home. I'm not going to talk about that, but what I'm going to talk about is just the condition of where we are, particularly this generation, because being on the skirts of, or I guess you could say on the forefront of a millennial, I'm like right in that gray area of like some people say I'm a millennial and some people say I'm not. So I'm always like, yeah, I'm a millennial. I'm going to claim that in Jesus' name. That's why I get to wear skinny jeans, because otherwise I'd be a Gen X and it's like bootcut jeans. And I'm like, no, no bootcut jeans for me. But, you know, particularly the millennials, if you look at what's going on within young people right now, there's a lot of chaos. There's a lot of fear that's being spread around what the future of the nation's going to be like, what the future of immigration's going to be like, what's it going to be like for human rights and all these different things. And people are saying all sorts of different things all across different mediums, news outlets, television shows, social media, protests, sit-ins, walkouts, whatever it might be. And there's a lot of things that are being said. And this is a generation that really wants their voice to be heard around the United States and around the world. And there's an influence that's crying out to be heard. And tonight I want to talk about this subject of broken influence. And I just want to ask this question. And I do want your participation. You didn't come on a Friday night to just stare at a guy. So please don't stare at me. You know, you can shout your preacher down if he preaches good. If not, then you can say something else. But, you know, don't just stare at me tonight. But I do want your participation. I want you to engage in this tonight with me. And I want to ask you this question. How many of you, in some form or fashion, want to see change come to our nation? How many want to see change come to our nation? How many want to see change come to the world? All right, I don't see everybody's hands, so I'm going to either assume, one, you just don't want to engage, or secondly, you're really indifferent to, like, the world as good as it is. Like, what's going on in Syria is just what's going on in Syria, and China telling people how many kids they can have is okay. All right, praise Jesus for you. I'm just kidding. I think all of us in some way, we want to see some change. We want to see things change. We want to see something. And let me ask this question following up on those of you that want to see change in your world. How many of you want to be influencers in that change? How many of you want to be a part of something changing in your world? How many of you guys look around and see the state and the condition of humanity, the state and the condition of our United States, the state and condition of where we are as a people, and say, something needs to happen, something needs to change, and I want to be a part of bringing that change about. Can I see how many of you would say that that's just something that resonates within my heart? See, that's the cry, I believe, of the millennial generation. That's why I believe you guys are going to be, we are, because I'm going to claim that in Jesus' name, we are going to be the greatest generation on earth, not because of numbers, not because of knowledge, not because of intellect, not because of what's happened, because of there's a passion to see something happen in the world and the inability to stay with the status quo. And tonight I want to talk about that subject of influence and influencing change in our lives. And so what we're seeing right now is people are trying to influence change in the country, either through the president-elect Donald Trump or through Hillary Clinton and her party. And so there's a lot of voices crying out saying, like, how could you? How would you get behind somebody like that? Or how could you not accept the inevitable of what happened? The country's saying, and the voice of the people have been heard, and now this. And so there's these people arguing back and forth about change, and we want to see change happen like this, and we want to see change happen like that, and I can't be a part, all the celebrities saying, I can't be a part of a nation that's going down this direction, and I'm going to leave, and I'm going to go somewhere else, and there's all these voices crying out to what's happening, because something needs to happen. Everybody on both sides, on every part of this nation can agree that something needs to happen, that we need to be influencers in it. Today I thought, well, I'd talk about, in light of what's going on, not just today, let's understand my heart, I don't want to preach a message just because of what's happening on the news. I don't want to come up here. That's just a waste of time. You can go on social media and read everybody's Facebook or anti-protest posts. That's not what I'm here about. Because this goes far beyond what's going on right now, but I do believe it is something for us today. In this generation, to understand and grab a hold of the heart of God and what he wants for this great generation that's coming up to do something great for the kingdom of God and great for the people of earth today, for us to understand God's heart. And so what I thought I'd talk about is influence and the subject of influence and the subject of how we bring about change into this world in the ways of God. And in order to do that, in light of what's going on right now, there's a lot of people talking about the subject of citizenship. There's a lot of people saying, well, you know what, if this is where America's going to be, I don't want to be a citizen of this nation. Or if this is what's happening around right now, I think I'm going to go do something else. Or as a citizen, my voice should be heard. This candidate won more votes than this candidate, and the voices of the citizens should be heard. And I want to speak tonight of those of you who are in this place and you've been in church for any amount of time. This is something that I'm not going to spend a lot of time on, but you've heard it before. You've probably understood it before, but if you're new to church or if you're new to the things of Christianity or of Jesus, this might be a unfamiliar concept to you. But for those of us who consider ourselves to be followers of Jesus, I could use the term Christian, but loosely that term Christian is kind of getting washed out as, what does a Christian mean? Well, if I go to church, that means I'm a Christian. I want to take you a little bit further than just a person that attends church on a regular or somewhat regular basis. Those of you, us, who claim in our lives, with our actions, with our heart, to be followers of Jesus, we are counted in the Word of God to be citizens of heaven. So you need to understand your position. If you follow Jesus, if Jesus is the one that died for your sins and you've dedicated your life to Jesus, or you made this position in your life to say, I want to chase after the things of God in my life, God looks to you and he says that you are a citizen of heaven. And I want to say it like this: you are a citizen of heaven first, which means you are a citizen of heaven as a top priority to your citizenship here on earth. There are people here in America today that are American citizens. There are immigrants that are citizens of other countries. Or there are people that are citizens or working to be a citizen of this great nation. But before we're Americans, can I take it a little bit deeper than that? Before we're Americans, before we're a group of ethnicities, before we're a group of political affiliations, before we're a group of religious affiliations, through Jesus Christ, you and I, above all else and beyond all else, we are citizens of heaven, which means that we have the backing of heaven as the kingdom of heaven. I might live in America and am blessed to do so, but America is not my ultimate allegiance. I might pledge allegiance to the flag, but that's not the citizenship where I hold my ultimate loyalty to. Why? Because my ultimate loyalty belongs to Jesus, and I am a citizen of the kingdom of God in heaven. Paul the Apostle, a dynamic man who wrote most of the New Testament, as we read it today, Paul the Apostle is writing to a church in Philippi, in the areas of Greece, the Grecian areas of Europe. And Paul's writing to the church of Philippi, and he says these words. He says, listen, our citizenship is in heaven. He says, your citizenship's not to Rome. Your citizen's not to Ephesus. It's not to your city. Your citizenship is not to, at the time, Judea, or what we would call Israel. He says, your and my. He says, our citizenship is in heaven, from which we eagerly await the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, everything your loyalties go to, first and foremost, above your political affiliation, above your ethnicity, above your family ties, above the last name in which you were born into or adopted into. He says, beyond all that, above all that, you need to understand who you are before you start acting to what you think you are. And he says, who you are is a citizen of the kingdom of God, of heaven. And as citizens of heaven, we need to understand what a great privilege it is to be citizens in the kingdom of heaven. Paul, the same guy in the church of Ephesus, he says, listen, guys, you don't understand. You're dead with sin. You're separated. You're like window shoppers standing on the outside looking at the benefits of everybody who's on the inside, but unable to get into that. But because of the sacrifice and what Jesus did in your lives, you have been taken from the position of an alien, an outsider, a foreigner, an illegal, and you have been brought in now to the citizenship of heaven. You have been granted access to the things of God. Now, when Jesus says, Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, you have been given the authority through Jesus Christ to bring the things of heaven to the things of earth. Why? Because you are a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. Before you're an American, before you're white, before you're Mexican, before you're black, whatever it might be, before you're a Christian or a Catholic or a Lutheran, you are a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. And so often what happens is we lose sight of our primary loyalties and we focus on our secondary loyalties. You see, we live in a society that makes a big effort to major on the minors and minor on the majors. You can talk to people about massive things like what's going on in the Middle East right now with Syria and with Turkey and the refugees, and you might get an indifferent answer of like, yeah, you know what, I don't know, that's halfway across the world. But you talk to somebody about what Colin Kaepernick's doing on the field of the 49ers during the national anthem, and people will go all crazy, everybody losing their minds about what a football player's doing. You see, we focus as a society on majoring on what's unimportant while we lose out or miss out on what is important. And so even as citizens of the United States, we focus, and they're very important issues, what's going on right now. But we make such a big deal of what's happening right now, missing out on the eternal perspective of what God wants for us to see as citizens of heaven. But I want to take it a little bit further than that. You see, you're not just a card-carrying citizen of the kingdom of God through Jesus Christ in your life. Jesus has a bigger, a deeper, a richer plan for each and every one of us to represent his kingdom to this earth. You see, Paul the Apostle, as he's writing to another church in the book of 2 Corinthians, Paul writes to the church and he says these things. That there's a verse very familiar to you and I, 2 Corinthians in the 5th chapter, verse number 17, Paul says a very statement. He says, old things have passed away, behold, all things become new. So that's a very familiar statement to each and every one of us. But see, what Paul wants to show the church is that beyond a citizen of the kingdom of heaven, you are actually an ambassador to the kingdom of heaven. You see, you're not just a citizen. You're not just average Joe walking around on the streets glad to have the benefits of citizenship of heaven. Your assignment on earth right now through Jesus Christ as a follower or a disciple of Jesus is to be an ambassador for the kingdom of God. Paul says it like this in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, verse number 20. He says, now then, he says, we are ambassadors. Who? For Christ. It's as though God was pleading through us. You see, God is using you. His plan for you is to reveal his love, his passion, his desire, his purpose, his thoughts about this world to the people of this world, that God wants to use you in such a rich way that people hear the plead of God to join his kingdom through you and through me as citizens and ambassadors to the kingdom of God. You're not just somebody who's in the kingdom. You're somebody who is representing the kingdom. What is an ambassador? An ambassador is simply this. An ambassador is an accredited diplomat who is sent to another country to be the sole representation of his country. Think about that for a moment. An accredited diplomat sent from his country to another to be the sole representative of his country to the one that he's in. So you see, you and I, we are now sent, called, elected by God in the body of Christ. Listen, you need to understand something. In light of what's going on right now, you were not elected by men to represent Jesus Christ. Because if you were elected by men, if I was elected by men, I don't preach good enough. I don't look good enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not gifted enough. I can't put together cognitive thoughts enough to represent the kingdom of God and all of God's glory and all of God's mercy and all of God's greatness to even try to comprehend the things of God when God says, my ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. I'm not able. I'm not qualified to be that. So in the eyes of men, you're unqualified. Qualified. In the election of men, you don't measure up, but God doesn't look to what men say. God says, I have chosen you. I have called you. I have assigned you. I have placed you. I have accredited you to represent my kingdom for my glory so that the world would look to you and that they would see and recognize that it's the very voice of God working through us, through our hearts, through our lives, through our words to plead with the world the message of the cross that humanity is dead in their sin, but we don't have to stay dead in our sin, that we have Jesus, the answer, and we eagerly await his return in our lives. Is somebody here tonight? You're sent. You're called. You're commissioned. Jesus gave us a commission in Matthew, the 28th chapter. What did Jesus say? He said, go. Go where? Into all the world. What did Jesus say in Acts, the first chapter, to his disciples? Jesus said, go where? To your city, to your region, and to all the world. To do what? Make disciples. Tell the people of the world with your life what's going on with Jesus through you. You and I, we are citizens. We belong to God through his kingdom. And not only are we citizens, we are ambassadors, which means think about the weight of your life on earth. You are the sole representation of God to somebody here on earth. That's massive. Massive. Why? Because that means that your life is not just like Forrest Gump floating through life like a feather, waiting for it to be over, waiting for your big break. You got your big break when you found Jesus. See, all of a sudden, you came from nothing to something. Now, all of a sudden, you had no purpose to a purpose to represent the creator of the universe, the one who breathed life into humanity, the one who came and paid the price for our separation to him. And now you are the sole representation of Jesus Christ and his kingdom to somebody here on earth. And you are accredited. Accredited by what? Not by your own. Not by what men say. You are accredited by the blood of Jesus Christ that was poured out on the cross of Calvary for your disqualification. Why? Because Jesus said, you couldn't make the price. I paid the price. You couldn't measure up. I measured up. Now when you are sent, it's not your that's sent. It's me and my spirit on the inside of you. You've got the accreditation of God's living, breathing spirit on the inside of you, which means if you want to change the world, guess what? You can. Man, somebody got to get excited about Jesus in this place, because I didn't show up to play. Because this is a generation. You go to your school, you go to your job, you go to your friends on the street, and they're dying and going to hell. They're standing up for things that don't matter. Why? Because in 4 years, things are going to change again. And we stand and we try to fight for everything we think we should fight for when there are people whose eternal lives are at stake. And we're majoring on minors while we're missing out on the majors. We're not citizens just of America. We're ambassadors of Christ. And it's time this great generation generation of people rise up to the gifting and the calling of what God has commissioned and accredited us to do, to go out and to change this world, not for Barack Obama, not for Hillary Clinton, and for sure not Donald Trump, but to change this world for Jesus Christ. Tell us on my heart. But as followers of Jesus, we hold the responsibility to represent and influence the love of Jesus to this world, regardless of our opinions. You see, as representatives of Jesus Christ, we hold the responsibility to influence this world for the love of Jesus, regardless of our opinions. You see, we have opinions. We have opinions based on the perception and perspective of which we've lived. If you ask somebody why they're a Democrat and ask them the story of how you became a Democrat, they'll tell you why. Well, my mother was a Democrat. She told me I was a Democrat, so I'm a Democrat. You ask why somebody's a Republican. Why do you hold so strongly to the belief of life? It's not going anywhere. It's not. Nothing's happened with that. Who cares? The Supreme Court judges were Republican when they voted in Roe v. Wade. Whatever you want to say about it. When you ask somebody the story about how they arrived, you begin to see the perspective of which they live their life and how they see and how they've originated and how they've arrived at their opinions of life. But despite what our opinions are in life, it is our responsibility to represent the kingdom of Jesus Christ and his love despite what goes on in our own personal opinions. And so when we talk about the subject of impaired influence, what happens is we start using the platform that was given to each and every one of us through the power of God to prolificate or to speak about our opinions rather than our representation of God. And we begin to impair or break down the influence of what God has purposed in our life today. All of a sudden, people start looking at Christians and saying, if that's what Christian values are, I don't want any part of that. And let me tell you something. It's not because of the unpopularity of what the Bible says as compared to culture. It's because of the representation of the ambassadors of Jesus that have stood up on their opinions rather than the representation of God's kingdom of love and mercy that has tainted the gospel message. And people are looking at that saying, that's not something I want to be a part of any longer. That is impaired influence in our lives. You know, my daddy taught me in business, he said, in business, in sales, you can win the argument and you can lose the sale. And so what we do is we stand on this high horse of our principles or our opinions in order to show that we're educated, in order to show that we're informed on the things of earth. And we say and we prolificate these arguments of why it's right and why our opinion is the best opinion of all. And we might win the moral argument, but we lose the sale of influence because nobody wants to listen to you if you're right and you're a jerk. Think about it like this. You can be a creep or you can be close, but you can't be both. And unfortunately, there are too many creepy Christians out there standing on their opinions, trying to prolificate their own ideas to show how educated and how smart they are within the world systems. When God said, I did not send you to represent the systems of your university professor. I did not send you to represent the systems of your political platform. I did not send you to represent the systems of your racial, ethnic background. I sent you, commissioned you to represent the kingdom of God and the love and the mercy and the desire of reconciliation to humanity through Jesus Christ. That is our purpose, church, and we're missing it. The fastest growing religious group on the United States right now in your generation is called the nuns, and I'm not talking about the Catholic sisters that wear the black scarf on their head. I'm talking about people who say, I've been there to church, I've done that, and I don't want to do it anymore. They're walking away. Why? Because they're missing out on the influence that God has destined us to have as his church. And we're missing it. We're missing it. We're standing for all these things, and they're important to us politically, but they're to the eyes of God, there's a bigger picture. It's an eternal picture. Look,
our political system and our political system, your opinion doesn't even count. Did you know that? They don't care about your opinion. Did you know that? Did you know that Donald Trump doesn't care about your opinion? Did you know that you may not even know this? Did you know that Hillary Clinton does not care about your opinion? Did you know that even Bernie Sanders don't care about your opinion? Because it doesn't count. Why? Because they don't count opinions. What do they count? They count votes. But we spend so much time on opinions, and 50% of Americans didn't even show up to vote. And we're missing it. You see, we spend a lot of time trying to gain influence with our opinions in the name of free speech, only to lose influence in the kingdom of God because of it. You can have one or the other. You can have influence of opinion, or you can have influence of the kingdom of God. And it's not that you can't have an opinion. It's not that you're entitled to political views. It's not that you can't come to the conclusions on your own, but not at the sake and not at the cost of the influence of the gospel and of the kingdom of God. Can we present and can we prolificate and can we speak upon our opinions? Why? Because our citizenship is first to heaven and secondary to the United States and to our race and to our feelings and to our emotion. You see, Jesus said it like this in Matthew, the 7th chapter. Jesus says, don't give what is holy to dogs. He says, don't take your pearls and cast them before the pigs that they might trample on you and devour you. What is he talking about? He's talking about your influence. He's talking about your voice into this world. He's talking about your stance, your representation of the kingdom of God. He says, listen, don't take what was given to you by the grace of God, paid upon by the cross of Jesus, the ultimate price of sanctification. Don't take what is most precious to you, your influence to this world, to be the sole representation of Jesus, and throw it before the pigs of society. Because you might gain influence on your opinion, but you'll lose the influence of the kingdom of God. And too many people on social media, too many people on the streets right now, too many people boycotting on college campuses, going to clubs and things like that, too many people right now are losing the voice of influence because they're shouting the voice of opinion. And let me tell you something, this is real. When you've offended somebody, when you've spoken badly against somebody, guess what? When the dust settles, and the dust in life will settle, they're not going to come back to you for advice. Why? Because your influence has been tainted. It has been impaired. It has been damaged. But yet, because of this thing, we have free speech. We prolificate. We shout our influence to the world, hoping that somebody would think that they agree with us. But rather that, when the dust settles in life, guess what happens? They're not going to come to the church anymore. And I'm not talking about a building. Jesus said, upon this rock, I will build my congregation. You are the church. And they're not going to come to you. Why? Because they don't like your opinion and they don't want your influence anymore. And the price is heavy to pay. Listen, I'm not trying to back one presidential candidate over the other. Donald Trump said a lot of bad things. And guess what? Donald Trump's going to be held liable and accountable for the things that he said in life and the things that he's done in life. But that does not give us the right to follow the same suit as the presidential candidates, the politicians that come and go. We have to use our influence and utilize our influence because we were commissioned and accredited by God to represent solely the kingdom of God and not our own personal opinions. Why would we throw away our influence for 4 years of politics, for trending social justice? Everybody says, well, in order to raise awareness, I'm going to do this. And in order to raise awareness, you're losing influence in the kingdom of God. And we've got to wake up as the church. Because if the devil will distract the people, to focus on the minor things of life, then we will miss the major things of life. And that is not a temporary system of politics, but rather an eternal system of heaven and hell in which every person must account for in their lives. The cost is far too great. I've seen too many people severely discredit themselves and their influence for the kingdom of God because of their desire to influence their opinion. Listen, use your position in the kingdom of God to influence others. Listen to this. Into the kingdom of God. Use your position in the kingdom of God to influence others into the kingdom of God. I was just having a great conversation with my neighbors last night. We've been talking about them. They started coming to us, asking us, because they know who we are and they know what we do. They started asking us about biblical questions. She read a book about the Pentecost, and she started asking questions about this thing called the Holy Spirit. Never heard of it. So now all of a sudden, they're asking all these deep questions about things. We had this great conversation last night. She says, you know, one of the major reasons that people I know don't go to church is because of the people that go to church. And you see, we're using our influence not to drive people into the kingdom of God. We're using our influence given to us by God to drive people out of the kingdom of God. Why? Because we are impairing our influence based on our own opinions and our own agendas and our own desires. But when we realize the who before the who is we are citizens, the what is we are ambassadors. Now all of a sudden, our influence isn't about my life. Listen, I kept quiet. Somebody wanted to ask me about my opinion about the personal, about the presidential election on a one-on-one conversation. I would gladly talk about how I arrived at the conclusions that I arrived at. But I'm not going to go on Facebook. I'm not going to go on social media. I'm not going to go talk about everything. I'm not going to try to sway the popular vote in my direction because of my agendas. My agenda is God's agenda. That's the only agenda I can afford to live. Why? Because there's an eternity that each and every one of us will be accountable for. And are we driving with the influence that God has given to us people into God's kingdom, or are we driving them with our influence that's impaired out of God's kingdom? Don't cast that great pearl, the gift of God, your voice, your passion, your desire, your citizenship. Don't cast that before the swine, the things of the earth, the pigs, so that they would trample on you and devour you and take everything from you, and then you're left without a voice. Use your position in the kingdom of God to influence others into the kingdom of God. I'm not saying you shouldn't have an opinion. You're welcome to your opinion, but always remember your opinion is secondary to the kingdom of God. Always secondary to the kingdom of God. And Peter says this, and I'm going to put it up on the overhead. I'm going to read it to you out of the New Living Translation. Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 2, he says it like this. He says, my dear friends, I warn you, as, look at this, temporary residents and pilgrims. See, this is not your eternal destination. What's happening right now in our country will continue to cycle through. And guess what? It's not going to get better. Why? Because the Bible tells us, the prophecies of the Word of God tell us that it's going to get dark. But the beautiful thing about darkness is the darker it gets, the brighter the light shines in the darkness. That's your influence and your voice. Don't be afraid of what's coming your way. He says, brothers, I warn you, friends, I warn you as residents and foreigners to keep away from worldly desires that wage war against your soul. Be careful to live properly among your unbelieving neighbors, that even if they accuse you of doing wrong, they'll see your honorable behavior, your influence with your life, and they'll give honor to God and not walk away from Him. Man, when He judges the world. For God's sake, I like that, for the Lord's sake, but I'll just say, for God's sake, submit to human authority. Whether the king is the head of the state or the officials he has appointed, for the king has sent them to punish those who do wrong and honor those who do right. It is God's will that your honorable lives, there it is again, your influence, would silence the ignorant people who make foolish accusations against you. For you're free, but yet you're God's slaves. So don't use your freedom as an excuse to do evil. But respect everyone. Love the family of believers. Fear God and respect the king. That's a really crappy verse for what happened this last week. Because the guy that got elected as king is a really hard person to respect because of the things that he said. But you see, the Bible tells us, Paul says it in Romans, the 13th chapter, and Peter says it in Peter, the 1 Peter, the 2nd chapter, that the leadership, the authorities are appointed. Now, does that mean that your vote didn't count? No, it means that God in His sovereignty allowed it to happen. That this was appointed by God, which means it is our purpose, it is our place to respect the authority that God in His providence has allowed to happen and to not use our influence to sway people one way or the other, but to give respect to where respect is due, but to use our influence for a secondary, a primary purpose, rather, I should say, to influence people into the kingdom of heaven. Why? When they would see our honorable conduct, when they would see our lives, that we would be a living, breathing reflection of the will and the desire of God for humanity on earth, and not our own opinions. Not our own opinions. Our life is temporary, but our citizenship is eternal. So our duty is to represent Jesus to this world. To represent Jesus to this world. A lawyer came to Jesus in Matthew, the 22nd chapter. He says to Jesus, what is the greatest, the biggest of all the commandments, Jesus? What's the big dog? Jesus says, I'll tell you. says the biggest commandment in all of God's word is to love your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And then he says in the same breath, and the second is like it, equal to it, right there alongside of it, hyphened with it, connected, comma, first rule, second rule, combined together, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And then look what Jesus says. He says, on this, all of the commandments and all of the prophets hang. They hinge. They're held in the balance of these two things. Everything written in the Old Testament laws of thou shalt and thou shalt not would be fulfilled if we, the people of God, would just represent God in the way God desired and planned for us to do, to love God inwardly with all that we have and to love people outwardly with all that we have. He says, if you just do that, all of the rules, all of the regulations, all of the you cans and you cannots would be fulfilled. Everything that the prophets rebuked you for, everything that the prophets encouraged you for, everything would be fulfilled if you would just love God, recognize your position as citizens of the kingdom of heaven and your place as commissioned ambassadors for God's kingdom, and to love people, to represent your love for God in your actions to people. Why? So that they would see your good works, Jesus says, and honor God in heaven. He says, you're the salt of the earth. What good is salt if it's not salty? It's just white sand. It's useless. It goes on the ground and people walk on it. And God did not send Jesus to die on a cross for people to walk all over us, but rather he sent Jesus to die on a cross so that we could be commissioned to be influencers to bring a change about this world, not a political change, not an environmental change, but a spiritual change that would change everything on earth if we would just represent Jesus to the people of this planet, to the people of our circles and our spheres of influence. Joel, are you playing the keys? Would you come up? Because it gets more anointed when you play. I'm going to finish on this. Imagine. Just think about it for a moment. Just think about it for a moment. People right now are in Los Angeles, Chicago, New York, major cities, St. Louis, Detroit. People are right now walking the streets, standing in the freeways, talking about rights and justice and all these things. Imagine, just think about it for a moment. There are people, millions of people fleeing out of Syria and the Middle East. There are 1,000 rockets a year that are fired into Israel. Iran's trying to build nuclear weapons no matter what anybody's trying to say. China's determining how many people can and cannot have babies, and they're telling people what they can and cannot believe. People are starving to death in places like India and in the middle or in the central islands. There are things that are happening all around this world that are travesties to humanity, and they are not the will of God. And just think about it for a moment. What would it be like if the people who profess to be followers of Jesus would just simply do what Jesus said to do? To love God with all of our heart and with all of our soul, and to love people like we love God. You know, all the laws in our Constitution, all the laws in our state, all the laws internationally, all the rules of warfare, all of these things would be worthless and innate. Why? Because we wouldn't need them if we would just do what God has called us to do. Let me tell you a story as we finish. I read you some words out of Peter, an eyewitness of Jesus. I read you some stories or some words out of a man by the name of Paul, who spoke personally with Jesus as he ascended, as he was in his position in heaven. These are real guys that did real things. And I want to tell you a story. Most of the books in your New Testament, with the exception of 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John and Revelation, were written before 70 AD. Why? Because something massive happened in 70 AD, something that changed the world of Christianity as we knew it, and it would never be the same again. You see, he's writing to a bunch of people that are believing in Jesus, but at the same time, this is the same people group that's taking stands for their social rights. They're taking stands against their government, against their king. You think Donald Trump was bad? You think Barack Obama was bad? You think George W. Bush was bad? You think any of these other guys were bad? These guys had people like Nero and Vespasian and Titus. Think Marcus Aurelius. We look at Gladiator with Russell Crowe and be like, Marcus Aurelius, there was a whisper. One of the most fiercest persecutors of Christians ever. This was the king these guys were talking about respecting. Not a guy talking about groping women. These were the kings that had sex with boys and threw them over cliffs when they were done. Yet they said, respect these men. Because God in his providence allowed the Roman Empire to be what it was. But the people didn't listen. And they revolted and they stood on their own grounds. And they stood against the Roman Empire. And in 70 AD, after 4 years of revolting, Rome had enough of the people of God. And the Roman Empire, Vespasian sent his son Titus to with an entire Roman army to destroy everything in Israel. Jerusalem was leveled to rubble. That historians talk about the Roman legions climbing over mountains of dead people to get to the next people. Jesus wept because he saw this when he walked into Jerusalem. He knew the direction they were heading. And yet in this, in a season where people were ripped out of their homes because they were called Christians, in a season where people were put in front of stadiums of football arena-sized stadiums, where people cheered and they got eaten alive by lions, where people were nailed to crosses, where people were dragged out and naked and stoned to death. In this season, these were the guys saying, honor the king, respect God, and represent, use your influence to change the world. And ultimately, every one of these guys walked themselves into their death for this belief. But the amazing thing is that without a Bible that we know it, without church services as we know, without lights and smoke and haze and Nord Stage 2 and Joel on the keyboard, without all these things, they changed the face of the world. That within 300 years, the great Roman Empire that once persecuted Christians adopted Christianity as its official state of religion. That for thousands of years became the most dominant force on earth. They did this. Why? Because they recognized they had influence. And their influence wasn't based on how they felt. Their influence wasn't based on their race, the Jews or the Gentiles. Their influence wasn't based on their political affiliation. Pharisees, Sanhedrin, Essene, whatever it might be. Their influence was based solely upon their citizenship in heaven and their ambassadorship of Christ. And in that, they changed the face of the world. Talk about human rights, abortion. In the Roman Empire, in the time of Jesus, if you didn't like your kid, you could take your kid out into the forest and leave it for the wolves. It was legal. And yet, through all of these things, we don't read about pickets and we don't read about sitting in. What we do read is that they met in homes in private and they met in the sewers. And they talked about Jesus, and they'd go to the marketplace and they'd represent this man, Jesus, and people would ask them, what is this that you have? They'd say, we have Jesus. And simply based upon the name and based upon their lives, they changed, transformed the face of the world. And this is a generation now that is looking for something to do to influence the world. Social justice is great, and in the name of God, it's wonderful. Political affiliations are great, and we're so glad people are dying to be able to protest like we are. That's great and wonderful, but that's not why we exist. We exist because Jesus Christ came and died for us and commissioned each and every one of us who follow him to represent him to somebody else he came and died for because they don't know it and yet we're driving them away. Just imagine for a moment, what would it be like if we, the people of God, would just follow what Jesus said? We don't have to be afraid of what comes our way. Jesus says, you don't need to be afraid. You're inside of me, you're in me, abide in me, and I in you. I've got you covered. And John says it like this. He says, listen, there's no love in fear. He says, the perfect love casts out all fear. And Jesus simply said, go and represent me with the love of God in your hearts and the love of people with the love of God in your heart. And things will change. But it starts by us by stopping to impairing our influence. Stop using our opinions and our platforms to drive people out of the kingdom of God and love to share the mercy and the grace of Jesus Christ to represent a bigger cause than what's happening today because eternity will continue to go on, but today will be a past tomorrow. But eternity is forever. And it's our responsibility to represent Jesus. Will you represent Jesus? Will you represent Jesus in your school? Will you represent Jesus at your job? Will you represent Jesus with your family? Will you represent Jesus with your friends? Will you represent Jesus as you drive on the road? Will you represent Jesus as you post on social media? That's the question God's wanting to know about you, is will you use the influence that you were commissioned with to do what God designed you to do with it? Or will you cast it before the pigs of the society that they might trample on it and you lose your voice? Father, I come before you tonight. Lord, we this generation cry out for a cause. We cry out for a purpose. And Lord, I know that many of us have very hard opinions on things that are going on right now. And there's some travesties on this world that we just say right now in our hearts that they're not okay. They're not okay by us. And it's okay. You want us to stand for the rights of people, but not at the expense of your influence and our opinions. So Lord, I just pray that as we as your generation would open our eyes to see our cause and our calling, that we would be ambassadors, not of an opinion, not of a party, not of a race, not of a citizenship on earth, but rather ambassadors of the kingdom of God, of Jesus and his love and his mercy for this world. That we would take the story of John, the 3rd chapter, verse number 16, that you so loved the world and the people of it that you sent Jesus to die for it, so that everybody who believes in him would have everlasting life and would not perish. So Lord, we just ask that you speak to us in areas of our lives that we might need to give up, we might need to let go, that we could be influencers in the kingdom and not influencers of opinion. Lord, we give you the praise for what you'll do here on earth. Your kingdom come, Lord, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven through us, and your Holy Spirit on the inside of us. In Jesus' mighty name, we all together said, amen. Amen. Well, hey, listen, before we leave tonight,